How's that, Sean? All right, good to go. All right, good morning. Let me get my notes out here. A couple months ago, Pastor Tim asked if I'd do the New Year's Day message, and all right, I'll give it a crack. And I started just thinking about the close of the year and the beginning of the new year, and just how it just made me really start thinking about that new beginning that for those that accept Christ that they get. And I started thinking about two different men, and one that's been in my life for a long time and another man he's been in my life now for about a year. I've known him. And first one is my grandfather. And a while ago, my mom, she calls up and says, your grandpa really needs to talk to you about his funeral. I'm like, okay, well, he's late 80s. He's battling cancer right now. And so his funeral's on his mind. I'm like, all right. And so I make my way up to see him and spent a great deal of time talking with him. And he'd made a couple of offhand remarks about the church and faith and just kind of mulled them over. And on my way home, I started thinking, I'm like, Grandpa doesn't have an understanding of salvation. He doesn't understand that the way to eternal life is through Christ. And I got home and I told staff, I'm like, I gotta go back and talk to him. And so I went and finished my work for that day and called him up and said, hey, Grandpa, I said, can I come back up and see you tonight? And he's like, yeah, that's fine. Do whatever. I go back up. I've got this Bible with me. I take it up. I'm like, Grandpa, I need to talk to you about something. And I said, you made some comments. And I said, I need to know where you stand. And he's like, well, he says, I'll tell you, Rick. He says, I dated a preacher's daughter in high school. Like, okay. All right. So I'm like, okay. Well, okay, that's not enough. And we talk some more. And he's like, well, he says, the way I look at it, I've led a good life. I've kept my nose clean. That's good enough. Like, Grandpa, that's not enough. And he's like, well, he says, when your mom and her brothers and sisters were growing up, we went to church a little bit, and all that preacher wanted was my money. And he's like, so I figured I'm good enough. That's enough. I'm like, Grandpa, that's not enough. I'm like, Grandpa, can we talk about this? I want to talk with you about this. He's like, nope, conversation's done. And I said, well, Grandpa, I've got a Bible for you. I'd really like to give this to you. So you can look at it, read it, talk about it. Nope, we're done. He's like, but I got something to tell you. I'm like, okay, where's this going? And Ryan, this is the guy that just told me that he's spent a good life, he's kept his nose clean, everything. Then he starts bragging about the unrepentant sin in his life and talking about all these things that he'd done. And he's like, I would have thought I was on a construction site with the guys that I used to work with the things he's talking about. I'm like, okay. So time comes to an end, and I'm like, Grandpa, I would really like to leave this Bible with you. He's like, nope. And he just wants nothing to do with it, casts it away. So get in the car to leave, call Steph. She's like, how'd it go? Not as I hoped. Like, I really need that evangelism class, because tonight did not go well. And then, last week, for those of us who are there, we had the privilege to listen to a man that was presented with the Bible on Christmas Day many years ago. And as David sat up here, and he shared how much Christmas meant to him, because that's when the gospel message was given to him. That's when it was delivered to him. And he was gifted a Bible. He said, yes, I believe in Christ. And he is the way for my salvation. And as David sat up here and he shared that with us, and you could see the emotion, and you could just see, I was like, man, that's a guy I want to sit down. I want to have a cup of coffee with. I want to have a pint. I want to sit down and I want to talk with him about what Christ has done in his life. And that was just that short moment. I'm like, man, that guy, he understands it. He gets it. And so now, like I said, I'm sitting here, I'm preparing for this, thinking about all this. And I've got two men. We got two Bibles. One, he's still dead in his sin because he doesn't want anything to do with it. We got another guy. He's alive in Christ because of what he's done. My grandfather, he's left now to do his good works by his own will. David, all of us that have accepted Christ into our lives, and we look at the scripture today, he says the good works, they're a gift from him. He says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ for good works. That makes me think about like New Year's resolutions. We commonly, you have people talk about, oh, I'm going to be nicer, I'm going to be kinder, I'm going to do like all these things. And it's like, you know what? For those of us in Christ, we don't need to worry about those things because we are his workmanship and he's created us for good works. And like, man, why is that? Why do we have these good works? Why do we have these things? It's the Holy Spirit. Like we've been made alive in Christ through the Spirit. And jump back to John 7, 37, 39. Remember that a while back I taught in John, and remember John, he wrote this so that we can believe. And so he says, and on the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit has not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. But like, guys, we've got the Holy Spirit now. And then we jump forward to Acts 1, 4 through 8. Jesus talking again about the Holy Spirit. And he says, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put on his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come, and you shall be witness to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And when I was studying, that word witness jumped out. And Steph has a tendency to say, what type of witness were you today at work? Remind you, I work with family, and so that can be challenging at times. And she commonly asked, she's like, what type of witness were you today? And I think back, and we're going to go to Galatians, and we're going to talk about the little bit about the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. And there's a big check in me as I started studying for this, because I think I'm like, how often do I act like, still operate like the man that's working in the flesh versus the one that's working in the Spirit? And so Galatians 5, 16 through 25. And, Christ, he says that, we're to be his witness. And I think of all that he's done for us, I think for all of us that have that believed in him. I think of that. And, like, you know, I'm glad that he left, that we have his word. I'm glad that we have the Holy Spirit, because if that was it, if it wasn't for those things, I've messed it up already, and I'm sure I'll keep messing it up. And it's very evident when you talk about, wife says, what type of witness were you today? So Galatians 5:16, he says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousy, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in the time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law, and those who are in Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. You take any one of us, and you take my grandfather, you look at him from the outside, you'd be like, he's a good guy. He is. He's, you know, paid his bills. He's showed up faithfully for his job. But he's missing something. He's missing the Spirit. And I just struggle with that in my own life. You know, like, you know, do we fully realize the gift that we have in the Spirit? And you know, whether we've been saved or not, you know, we can muster up the strength to imitate the fruits of the Spirit. But until we really see what he's done and we actually let the Spirit work in us, can they actually be evident in us? And, you know, that gift of the Spirit, it comes from us putting our trust and faith in Jesus and what he did on the cross for us. You know, like, it's not enough to be dated a preacher's daughter in high school. It's not going to be enough for our kids to simply come along for Steph and I on this ride as we go to serve as missionaries. It's not enough for us to ride in on our parents' coattails on their faith. But at the end of the day, the question is, has he called me, and have I answered that call? And, you know, so, let's see. So what does all this look like for us that believe in the new year? And I've been reading through Of the Mortification of Sin in Believers by John Owen. And great book. I've been working on it for about 6 months, because it's just one of the, you read a sentence and you got to think about it for a while. And so just to tie up just that last charge for us, you know, as we head into this new year, John Owen he's talking about, you know, that killing of sin in our lives. And he's like, we can try and do all we want, but unless we have the Holy Spirit, it's not going to work. And it's like, that's evident, you know. But he says, John Owen, he says, be sure to get an interest in Christ. If you intend to mortify any sin, without it, it will never be done. He says, be sure to get an interest in Christ. If you intend to mortify any sin without it, it will never be done. And that's just the challenge that I'll just throw out to all of us in this coming year. David once again talks about the Bible reading plan that helps us with our interest in Christ. In this coming year, let's be a body of believers that have an interest in Christ. And for those, if you haven't accepted Christ as your Savior, I want to encourage you, get an interest in Christ, because it will completely turn your life upside down. And at this time, I'll just ask Pastor Tim, who's going to come up and do communion. But maybe just give us a few moments, just a moment or two of silence to just think about what an interest in Christ looks like in all of our lives.